way you talk. I hate the word you use. I hate the way you think.
Hey.
Sir,
thank you.
How are you?
Why did we do English accents before?
Why didn't we?
No, why didn't we? Yeah, we should have done this entire podcast.
We should do a whole podcast using English accents.
We'll have special guests.
It'll have to be like...
Nigel and Beverly will be the special guests.
Beverly's not I think British name.
I think it's pretty British.
It's not.
Well, then you think
but
of your
I'll
name.
I'll come up with something else.
Nigel. It'll be
a whole podcast on fancy stuff.
We did while we were eating dinner earlier at the Hydraulic Hearth in Buffalo, right in Larkinville, a yummy place.
Out on the patio, very
we're
nice.
Very excited. It's open again. It was closed for quite a while with this COVID stuff.
Yes.
So if you're looking for a place to eat, go there. They have really good, like, what is it? Kind of pizza. Is it artisanal? Is it fire or something?
It's the fire hearth pizzas.
Hearth pizza. Yes. There we go. Okay.
Hence the hydraulic hearth.
Yeah.
But, we stuffed our faces.
Oh.
It was really good. Always good.
Yeah.
When we go there. But I'm going to long run tomorrow, so I'll burn some of that off.
Yeah. So this is kind of, you've ironically transitioned into something that I wanted to talk about immediately. So we talk about stuffing our faces and that you're going to long run.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say how just gross and fat I feel lately.
Sorry?
Yeah, this whole COVID thing, the foot thing.
The foot thing is really what crushed it for you.
It's been really annoying and like downer for me, really.
Well, because from a working out perspective, you are a cardio person. You run and you're just starting to get into biking, all of which cannot be done when you have a stress fracture in your foot. So that kind of crushes your workout world.
It really sucks. So I haven't been eating awful, but I tend to snack at night, and that's not good. Like, our dinners and, like, meals I eat are actually really healthy, but late at night I'll eat crap. So I've been earlier this week, I was like, I got to find something. I can't do anything on my feet. I can't run, bike, like you said. So I found this workouts, this fitness instructor lady I found on YouTube has like 54 or 55 workouts for people with injured feet. And
perfect
so the last couple of nights I've done them and they are kick-ass workouts. So I'm like I get done with it. I'm sweating good. My heart rate's up. I feel like I did a workout. And you do like leg stuff too, but it's just not impact leg. So It's been awesome. So I'm going to continue to do those as my foot heals, and hopefully I won't feel like such a big fat slobber anymore. Plus, I was telling you earlier, I've started like a 20-hour fast every day, which we'll see how it goes. It's been really awesome for 3 days, where I will eat dinner and then have a moderate snack in the evening, and I don't eat anything again until dinner the next day. I have coffee, I have water, I'll probably have like a Gatorade sometimes, so I'm getting like calories and some carbs and stuff like that, but...
You do protein shake.
Yeah, and I do it
stuff.
For lunch, I have like a protein and, what's the stuff that makes you poop? Protein, there's some fiber in there, that kind of stuff. But that's been really good for me so far. It's only been 3 days, but I feel way better. I've been exercising and I've been doing that, and it's been awesome, so...
A lot of people like to cycle their fasting and... And for some people, I think it's really great. And a lot of people really tout that as being, almost a reset for your body. Mm-hmm. So it stimulates your metabolism and amongst a lot of other benefits. But that's really hard for me.
It's super easy for me.
I can only go maybe missing one meal. So that if I go from the night before, I could probably go through missing breakfast maybe. But by lunchtime,
I don't think you could.
I'm jittery and I'm feeling weak and woozy.
I don't think you could, because normally I'm still in the downstairs bathroom going poop in the morning when you're up and first thing you do is start making breakfast.
It's true. It's the first thing I do. Yeah. But I have to keep myself busy. So I'm able to do that only if it's one of those days where I know I've got a lot on my plate that day, so I get up first thing, go run, only in enough time to come home, shower, and start working.
Yeah.
So it has to be that type of situation where, you know, I don't have time to not.
It's good for me. So I'm gonna stick with this for a while, see how it goes, get some more workouts in, and not feel like a slob. What as I listened to Rob Lowe, yeah, on Rogan last week, and he was talking about his fasting too, and he does what I'm doing every other day. And then on the other days, mm-hmm. he does like a whatever, like a 12-hour fast, or whatever. But he's a huge proponent of it, and I've seen studies too, and we've talked about this not on here, but in like in real life, where even not that I'm worried about, you know, losing my bearings or dementia or anything, but
you lost your bearings a long time ago.
I can't find them. But they've where even are they? Studied.
I've lost my bearings.
Again with the English shit. What's going on? It's the third time today. It helps with like in dementia patients too and stuff. I guess it just like you said, it kind of like triggers your brain to like mm-hmm. react and survive differently. It's like, okay, I don't have this food that I'm used to, so I need to adjust. I need to take energy from here and put it here. And
that's exactly what it is from what I've read on a lot of it is that when you do things like fasting, your body's very used to, especially if you eat at the same time every day, or you eat on a very scheduled basis, your body gets very used to that, and your brain almost doesn't have to think about it. All of your body mechanisms kind of run on.
It's like autopilot. Almost,
right. So when you change that in any way, and you do something like all of a sudden you're going to fast, well now all of a sudden it doesn't have that regular influx of nutrients to do a quick burn. So now all of a sudden your brain has to kick in. And different synapses have to kick in to say, okay, body, we have to do something different because everything's changed now.
It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way too dumb to comprehend it, but it's interesting. One other thing, too, on that Rob Lowe podcast that I just found super incredible. I guess he was really good friends with Bill Paxton, the actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was in Apollo 13. He was Chet in Weird Science way back when. I guess him and Rob Lowe were really good friends, and I didn't realize this until I heard it, was that Bill Paxton was in minor or major role in every James Cameron movie. So Bill Paxton and James Cameron were great friends too. But once Cameron had kind of started doing the exploration of the Titanic and all that stuff, I guess he after the movie, he actually did like more documentaries and stuff like that, right? But he took Bill Paxton down in a submarine to the Titanic. And they like kind of parked on the deck of the Titanic. This is true.
Okay. That,
and they had like a lunch on the Titanic, which is kind of cool. They like had a meal on the Titanic, right?
Yeah.
Cool in and of itself, I think. They're all happy. They come back up to, you know, to the surface and stuff like that. And they said everyone around them was like grim. And they were down there when 9/11 happened.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Like they go on this really exciting, like I'm going to eat on the
Titanic.
I'm wondering
where your story's going.
It's not my story.
there's got to be a bigger point to this. And they just went down and, you know, in the submarine.
There's that, where were you when Kennedy was shot? Where were you when the Challenger exploded?
Well, yeah, just where were you when you heard about 9/11?
I was on the deck of the Titanic. That's pretty crazy.
Oh my God.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
So that's it. That was my opening rant that I'm fat and trying to do something about it. So
But since you brought up Rob Lowe, I just have, this is totally on an aside, we're not going to get into a rant here, don't worry,
literally
but,
not a rant.
Well, I just have to say that literally The Outsiders is probably the very best movie that's ever been made in all of history.
It's got an all-star cast unbeknownst to them at the time, but
yes,
it's pretty epic.
Yeah, it's a pretty epic movie, but that was an aside.
That was it
anyways. So going back to the fact you can't run, but I can, which is really super cool.
Yeah, neat.
For me. But, so yesterday I did something a little bit different. I went out for my run and I was going to be out there for a little bit longer time. And I said, okay, I'm going to try to do something different. Instead of listening to music,
Did you listen to a podcast?
I said, okay, I'm going to try to do a podcast.
I'm getting excited. You're finally coming to the dark side.
I can see that. So don't get too excited. It was awful. Well, first of all, and I guess maybe it's because I it was like short notice kind of thing. So, you know, I pull up my app and I'm like searching for some pot. I'm looking for something that, you know, something I might be interested in. I'm like, meh, whatever. So eventually I did finally settle into one and it was okay. I did actually have to stop along my run at one point to change something. I'm like, I can't even listen to this.
What was
it? This is literally going to put me to sleep. So, but...
what was it?
What was what?
The podcast.
The one that was going to put me to sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't want to really get into it. I don't want to, you know, diss anybody else, but it just really wasn't...
They might be listening.
It was, you never know. It really wasn't my thing, so I tried something else. So it was okay. But, you know, there's nothing to like running and just jamming out to some music that can just play and not. I feel like when I'm listening to a podcast, I have to actually listen to it and pay attention.
Nah.
What's the point if you're not listening to what they're talking about? It's like.
Well, you are, but you're not. You don't have to like focus everything on it, but you get the point. And you're most of the time, that's why I listen to like things that are tend to be on the sillier side. So comics and, you know, comedians doing podcasts and doing interviews and that kind of stuff.
I guess.
Because you don't.
See, I go towards the informational kind of stuff. So I tried. Maybe some other time I'll try again, but it won't be for running. Anyway, so as I was running, and this happens occasionally, you get runner's rage. You've gotten it. We've all gotten it.
And all the time.
But there's a list, at least, and I'm not going to go into a huge list. I'll just name a handful of things that really annoy me as a person who runs a lot.
First and foremost, sister.
What do you think the first one is going to be? Because we run into this all the time because we always road run.
This is going to be people turning right.
Oh, you got
only
it,
looking left. Not paying attention that
PSA,
when they do start to turn right.
If you are driving and you are turning right onto a major road, any road at all.
Any road.
Everyone does it. 90% of the population does it. You only look to the traffic on your left because you just want to make sure no one's coming. And then you take your foot off the gas without even looking where you're going or looking to your right, and you start rolling into the street.
Into the runner.
Into the runner who was just on the sidewalk, who, if you are lucky enough, has been running on the roads long enough to know not to run in front of you until you've made eye contact with the driver.
Yeah.
Please, people, we were all taught when you're a little kid, you look both ways before you cross the street. Do the same thing when you're turning right.
Yeah. Preach. That's true, though. Like, especially in the summertime, I have laid a web of profanity on cars with their windows down that do that. I've even smacked cars, as they go.
True story.
And I've talked about this before that, like, I'm very tempted sometimes to let a car hit me. Like, I don't want to, like, die, but I mean, it's you know, it's from stop to a starting to go, so it wouldn't be like a.
We had this discussion recently when I was out, and that happened, and I almost got plugged by a car. And looking back and afterwards, I would have thought, I wish I had, because then I realized that it was actually a doctor neurologist that was pulling out of his office. If there was anybody I could have gotten hit by, it would have been that
and
one.
That wouldn't have even been a court thing. They would have been like, how about if I write you a big check for this, and you'd be like, double it, and they'd be like, all
right,
fine,
sweet, right?
And that would be it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got to be careful if you're going to do this approach, the deliberately get hit by a vehicle. Don't make sure it's not a beater or a roach of a car.
Oh, yeah.
You need to analyze this as you're approaching the vehicle and make sure you make a sound decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to get hit by a crappy car, they may not have insurance.
You got to do what you
have to. I agree with you on that.
Absolutely.
Nice.
We won't mention the one time, and this was years ago now, that I got into a fight with a lady on the side of the road because she thought I yelled at her son.
That's right. I remember that.
Real quick story, we just happened to be running past Little League football field. Practice had just let out. There was a line of cars. And this lady in the minivan family, she was nice enough. She flagged me so I could cross in front of her. But the lady in the second car in line got really impatient and angry that she wasn't pulling out and started laying on the horn. So I continue my run. Lady pulls out in the minivan. And then when the other individual who was beeping impatiently passed me by, I happened to lay on a profanity and she didn't like it, so she stopped in the middle of the road.
Yep.
Now, for anyone who may not be super familiar with me, I'm a fairly petite for a woman. I'm all of maybe 5'4" if I stand really tall.
Not quite, but go ahead.
I'm not quite. See, what, 5'3 and a half?
Yep.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. If I stand really tall, but then I might be 120, 122 pounds. This woman was driving. The child in the passenger seat was probably maybe 10, 12 years old. She thought I was calling her son a name. So she stopped in the middle of the street, rolled down her window, and asked why I called her son an asshole. And that's when I very nicely bent over, looked her in the face, and said, not her, him, you. That's my running story about getting having brawls in the middle of the streets. But back to my rant about things that piss off runners.
Yes.
Now, you may not agree, and this might be really silly. You know those stickers that say 0.0?
I'm aware of them.
I think they're bullies.
Bullies?
I see that. I perceive that as somebody trying to bully me as a runner.
I see.
Because like many runners and athletes, we all like to slap those stickers on our cars. We're very proud of our achievements. We've worked very hard. If you've, whether it's, you know, whatever distance or potentially whatever, you know, race you've done that might be a hard obstacle, you want to, you advertise, you slap that sticker on your car. We've got a million of them, some of us. So I feel like those people that put the 0.0 on there, they're trying to bully us and make fun of us in some way.
So,
and I don't think that's very
nice. Do we think
nice.
That most of those people may not be people who exercise a lot?
Right.
Right. So, and probably maybe could lose a pound or 10.
I think I should get stickers made that say I'm lazy or I'm fat.
No.
Slap it on a list.
Just going to get like tacos eaten zero or something. Yeah. We got to think of something good where it's going to represent those bullies and let them know that we can't be bullied as running athletes.
Yeah.
I agree. Those are stupid. And almost too, it's like you're bragging that you're lazy anyway, even if it's not a bully thing. You're like, I don't run at all. And that's not something to brag about there, Chubbs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. I don't like it either.
I think it's being bullies. Now, generally speaking, runners are very friendly. We are a very embracive community.
Yes.
Even as antisocial as we are, we will, if you see somebody running, especially if it's a beginner, you give them a thumbs up, you give them a high five if you pass them on the street. No matter what, if you're passing somebody on the street, somebody else that's running, walking, trying hard, you give a wave, you give a nod. You know what I have to say right now? F you cyclists.
Ooh, whoa.
Yep.
Bold.
I'm calling them out.
There's a lot of them listening, too.
And those of you that are out there, you know who you are. Not all of them, obviously. I don't want to make a blanket statement here, but they're all elitists.
Yep.
Snobby. I cannot even tell you how many times you might give a wave and nod
for sure.
Anything. And
you
know what?
Look at you.
They will not, even if they look at you, they do not even acknowledge. They just keep right on going. They do not. And that has even happened to me while I was the other cyclist.
Whoa.
So I was out there on my
trike.
Yeah.
See, I thought maybe it was just like one of those like Jeep Wrangler things where everybody that owns a Jeep Wrangler waves at each other.
That's right.
A cyclist maybe waved to other cyclists, but you're telling me that is in fact not true.
Not all the time. Not in my experience. Either that, they look at me and be like, she's a beginner. Then they totally snub me, maybe. I don't know.
Have you ever on your runs seen somebody riding on a tri bike? And have you waved to them and did you get a wave? Because I have a feeling that triathletes would, even though they're on the bike, would not be as snobbish and elitist as cyclists. That's my theory on that. I think that they are, because they're doing the running too, and because they're doing the swimming, you know, they're not just a
maybe.
Biker.
It's a good theory. I'm not sure how much it holds up, though.
Well, I think it's true.
I just feel like it's that some of them just have that totally elitist attitude.
Yeah, they're smug bastards most of the time. I agree.
True story. One last thing, and this isn't a big one.
You got more.
This is the last one on my list of when it's referred to as jogging. If you are ever speaking to anyone who puts one foot in front of the other, even at a slightly rapid pace, they are not jogging.
Yeah.
They might be running slowly, but they're runners and they're running.
Every mile counts. Doesn't matter how fast it is.
A mile is a mile.
Yeah. That is annoying. People are like, oh, you going for a jog? What?
No.
What is it, the 70s? That's when people jog.
That's true, yes.
Running.
No, we run.
Well, speaking of running, too, we just, like, right before we came up here to record, I had seen, and apparently you saw this already, too, that somewhere in the world, by somebody, who knows, some guy set a new 5K world record. And
yeah.
It's so 5K, for those of you who may not know, is 3.1 miles. It's the most common race distance. Usually around here, when it's not COVID, you can run 4 to 5 5Ks in a weekend if you really wanted to. There's a ton
or
of them.
Or even throughout the week.
Yeah, and it's awesome. So, I mean, it's a great distance. It's a great distance where you can push yourself pretty hard, knowing that, you know, it is only 3.1 miles and you're not going to, you know, you're not pushing that same pace that on like a marathon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But so my 2-3 years ago, I was, this is when I was like really, we were running a lot of races that year and I was really pushing. I had a specific goal I wanted to break and that was to run a sub 21 minute 5K. And newsflash, I never did, but I ran multiple 21, like 06, 05, 07, 09, in that one race, the Hall of Fame race in Buffalo on Elmwood that we ran.
Mm-hmm.
We both had
good races that day.
Yeah, that was a close. I ran a 21:01 in that race. I'm like, ah, I couldn't find 2 seconds somewhere. But just to put this in perspective, that's really fast for me. That's like a 6:41 or 42 pace or something per
which is
mile.
Great for the, you know, your average yeah. amateur.
Yeah. So I mean, I was really proud of my running that year. Don't get me wrong. But so what we saw this 5K today that somebody broke the world record, they ran 3.1 miles in 12 minutes and 35 seconds, which is a 4:02 pace per mile. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. I would just like to be standing on the road when they fly by at that pace, just to experience how fast that is.
Just to put it in perspective, I'm not sure I can ride my bike that fast. Like I could put like my regular, you know, flat road might be that fast. I can barely keep up with them running at that speed.
That's insane. It's definitely some like Ethiopian or
I saw the picture. Absolutely.
Eritrean or whatever. I don't know what it is, man. Those guys got that stuff in their genes. It's amazing.
No, but it makes you wonder. So maybe food is overrated for running, right? Because look at, you know, it's always Ethiopians, right? And that rank in marathons and things like that. But they're also the ones that are starving.
Well, as a country, maybe. I'm sure these guys that are elite athletes are getting the protein and food necessary.
That's a strange correlation right there that they happen to be in both of those categories.
Let's move on to something else. That's going in a dark area. No offense, no pun intended either. So what were you
going to
say?
Nothing, go
ahead. No. I saw this stat that I just thought it was funny. More than a third of Facebook users leave the site feeling worse than they did when they logged on.
I believe it's probably more than that.
Well, my thought when I read that was if Facebook is a third of the people, then Twitter's like 90%. Because you can't go on Twitter without just like going,
it all has to do with who you quote unquote follow. So it's what you put into your feed. It's what you
your algorithm feed or whatever. But even like stuff suggested for you then at some point is like, oh my God. It just, it's hilarious to me. Like I look through Twitter and I just like go, Jesus, I shake my head more than anything.
Yeah.
It's just a grim place, man.
Yeah.
But one thing that made me think about Facebook too, and I saw this recently, was that somebody will be like, hey, looking for recommendations for a kid's barber in West Seneca. And people will be like, well, like some grown man will be like, well, I get my haircut here. It's in South Buffalo. They always like, give like the wrong information on stuff. It's so stupid. Like they're very specific. Here's what I'm looking for, and people like give different towns or different occupations or stuff. It's
well,
so
you
dumb.
Gotta think, but yeah, but that's. I mean, I get what you're saying, but if you have, and you are loyal and passionate about someplace that you go to, then you're like, no, man, this is the very best place.
Yeah.
You want to support them. You want to, you know, draw attention to it, and that's the platform to do it.
So. No. If I ask a question, I want an answer. I want it brief. I want it direct to...
Because everyone thinks they know better than everybody else.
Yeah, but
and
I'm
I
the
know
one
you're looking for something in this town, but if I've got something that's the very best and it's only in the next town,
no,
it's totally worth you taking that extra 5 minute drive.
So,
especially for a haircut.
This kind of falls in line with that too, saying, and even if it's online, says it takes the brain approximately 90 seconds to decide whether or not you like someone. That person
I'm
responding
even,
with incorrect
I'm
information,
even,
I don't like them.
Yeah, I'm not even
it
sure
might even
it takes
be quicker.
That long.
Yeah, you're right. That
you've just entered the room and I've already made my decision.
So these people giving wrong answers and me saying I want it direct to the point was brought up something, and I think I was telling your brother this, because so this weekend we had our son's graduation party from high school finally, and it was fun. We had some family over yep. for the first time in forever. And it was cool.
And it was good to see everybody's faces.
Yeah, it was
nice
to
hang out. It's been
a
while. We haven't had a big family gathering in a long time.
It was fun. But one of the things I had talked about, I think it was with when your brother and his wife, I don't know. But somehow it got on the subject of the fact that I took that Helium online comedy thing, right? For stand-up, uh-huh. to how to write jokes, basically. And it was, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying because I took class that was like 4 2.5 hour sessions that I'm a comedian now, but it was interesting for me to see kind of how to write things and how things just kind of pop onto paper that, you know, you have an idea of where you're going, but there something deep inside of you sometimes leads the pen and you write something that at the time you may not realize is really, you know, that important, but it could be very telling for you personally. And I found this out when the very first joke I ever wrote. So we had to do, we had to write a 3 minute bit. Okay. And I've never written jokes. I've never done any of this. So I was like, "Wah! I don't know what to do." But
your whole wife's a joke.
Yeah. What does that say about you, sister? But the very first line of the very first joke I ever wrote was, "I am a big fan of brevity," and at the time I never thought of it. I've thought of it multiple times since then where I'm like, that was my soul pouring out into that joke because I am so somebody that wants, like I said, with the Facebook thing, direct answer, short and sweet. When somebody starts going off on a direction and starts over explaining things and giving too many examples, I'm like, oh my God, just shut up. Get to the point of what you're trying to say and move on. You are ruining my life. I hate that.
Ruining your life.
So,
all right.
I am a big fan of brevity. Was the very first line of the very first joke I ever wrote. And it
there
is,
you go.
Like I said, it was my soul coming out onto paper. So if you're listening to this and you're talking to me, get to the point. That's what drove me nuts about Andrew Cuomo's, some of his press conferences during the COVID thing.
Oh, yeah.
He gave like 46 examples of something. You don't want to spread it to your grandmother, your grandfather, uncles, nieces, cousins. He would go on and on and on. Drives me insane.
Okay.
So, yeah. Whatever you're going to say next, make it short and sweet. What?
Nothing. What?
Well, I mean, for some reason, I went on this wormhole of, this isn't that bad.
Your wormholes get scary.
No, this one's good. But so I just found a lot of interesting studies and facts and stuff like that about sarcasm. And we tend to be pretty goddamn sarcastic.
I feel like we're up there on the sarcasm scale. A little bit.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like to each other, to other people, to...
And
it's
you
basically
know,
our language.
Yeah. And as like grown-up professional adults...
Whoa.
I don't want to say that that becomes, you know, difficult, but
it's troublesome.
It is slightly troublesome. You have to really rein that in a professional environment and, you know, slowly, you know, get the feel for certain people.
Yep.
To before you can let that roll.
And in this environment around today, especially in like a professional environment, I mean, like you more than me, if you were actually in the office, you really got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I work in an environment where it's a little bit looser and it's much more fun. Because I came from, 22, 23, 24 years, whatever it was, in, like, corporate
world,
America.
Yeah.
So from that point, it's a relief. But there's a lot of interesting things. It says this one study showed that sarcasm enhances the ability of the human mind to solve complex problems. What are your thoughts on that?
Haven't we talked about that? I feel like
Not
we
that
discussed
one.
That one.
I don't
right?
think we did.
No?
Well, if we did, there's more. So I don't know how
I create complex not problems, but stories.
Yes, you do.
And we talked about this at dinner today.
Yes, you did. Not we, you.
But it's kind of interesting. So we all know that, that your brain runs and you daydream and it's always going in different directions. But one thing that I'd like to do when, you know, you walk into, say, a restaurant, a bar, wherever, and especially if you're eating food or waiting for, you know, whatever, there's a lot of people around. I like to make up stories.
You don't like to make up stories. You like to make up, like, lives. Like, you envision and talk about like and imagine what they do for a living, yeah. Why they're together.
What's going on, what the relationship dynamics are. So I can just take just simply by the way people look, and I will come up with an entire story, movie, background, whole miniseries. But then their lives, their relationships.
Uh-huh. There's probably a doctor that can help you with that.
It doesn't need help. It's great. I come up with some pretty good stuff.
You come up with some stuff, all right. Yeah, it's some of it's out there, but. So back to sarcasm. And like I said, I don't know how they gauge this, but saying being sarcastic on a regular basis can add up to 3 years to your life, and it is extremely healthy for the mind.
Sweet. I'm going to live forever.
Yes. Exactly what I was hoping for. People who talk to themselves and are sarcastic are also more likely to have a high IQ. I found that interesting because I do talk to myself.
So as do I.
Yeah. So,
you know, sometimes that. You need an
having
expert advice.
Sarcastic friends will make you more creative. Sarcasm is considered a brain stimulant. And this is my favorite one, and I'm going to test us on this, or you at least. Ha, putting you on the spot. It says, being able to instantly respond with sarcasm within seconds of a stupid question is a sign of a healthy brain.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So not even a question. It could be a statement somebody says, too. It could be anything.
Sure.
So
you see, if you're quick-witted, you can come up with something.
Are you quick-witted? You want to try this?
No.
Come on. Because if you weren't in front of a microphone, you'd be like busting out all these
licks.
You're
probably right. So it's going to be...
Here we go.
I can't stand the pressure.
This is just thinking of something stupid off the top of my head. I had a good day at the office today.
So did I. I was at home and you weren't.
Oh, I don't know if that's sarcastic enough. Give me the same line. I already thought of one as I was listening to you.
What? They ask you the same question? Yeah. I had a good day at the office today?
Yeah, too bad nobody else there did. Boom.
See? But you had a chance to think about it quicker.
I thought about it while I was asking it to you.
But you already knew what you were going to say.
How quick is that? No.
But it wasn't like a surprise what you were going to say.
Right, but
your brain already knew.
I thought of that
potentially,
before I even got done.
You already had your response and then developed a question.
Whoa. That's pretty crazy.
Like you.
Anyway, I think sarcasm is a lost art. And some people overdo it. Some people don't understand the subtlety of it. And sometimes you can get away with really singeing some people and they don't even know it because you know, yeah, you know, like a little nugget about them or you know something about what they're talking about and you can, it's so much fun to me, like crafting a sarcastic remark. And I swear, even at the party here that we had, I say about 20% of the things that enter my head, most of them are
inappropriate for mixed company.
Yeah. So, but there's proof right there in those studies that sarcasm is an art. It makes you smarter and generally shows that you have a higher IQ.
For once, I actually agree with you.
You should. It's science. So we're sitting here recording this. We're getting close. You've got a, what is that in your hand? A glass of what?
Southern Comfort.
Yeah, and I've got a glass of Merlot. And I found this interesting, that in the ancient Persian Empire, the men would debate ideas while sober and then again while drunk because they believed an idea had to sound good in both states in order to be considered an acceptable idea. So somebody would be like, I think we should invade Egypt. And they'd be like, we'll talk about that tonight over beers. And they would have the same debate. And if they all felt that they should invade Egypt, they would.
I'll buy it.
I think that's really interesting. And lastly, because we're getting close on time here, women tell an average of 11 lies a week. men, 7. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's because women generally seem to talk more than men.
Oh, see, I just lied to you about that. Actually, men are 58. Women are 11.
There you go. Like, see, I can come up with something different.
Apparently, men lie more than women.
That's much more believable.
Yeah. Well, it's 59 now, if that's the case, because I just lied to you. So, and the week's not even over. Yeah. But we are
I hate you.
I know, but I love you so much. But we are getting close on time. This was a fun one.
It was.
Yeah.
But there are things we haven't covered.
Oh, like what?
There were things. We had follow-ups from the last cast that we didn't touch on.
I do have to follow up.
Because you had to follow up on your gentleman.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to follow up on the Michael Phelps thing.
Yeah, which one, I don't know that you've watched it, right?
Oh, I have.
What?
I did my part.
Oh, well, my follow-up isn't complete yet because it's not resolved. So
doesn't matter. We're out of time. Everyone will have to stay tuned for the next episode.
I have a partial story, but it's not resolved yet. But the Michael Phelps thing you actually watched?
I did.
When?
You know.
No, I don't. That's why I asked when.
I may have had it on during the day at some point.
Oh, wow.
While I multitask.
Shoot. Well, I will watch that. You're going to long run tomorrow. Maybe I'll watch it then, and then we can talk about it, because I really found that to be something worth watching, at least in theory, because
you'll find out when you
really
watch
interesting.
It.
Okay. Well, I'll watch that. All right. Well, that's it. Thank you guys if you're listening. Hopefully you will continue to listen, because we enjoy doing this and hope you enjoy hearing it. And tell your friends, tell strangers, share it, all that good stuff. We appreciate you. Bye.
I appreciate you more than he does.